We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I was going to go in one direction, but since you just belched sneakily.
Mike, why don't you do that, man?
Right.
So disgusting. Right. Mike, you're so disgusting.
Listen, y'all are both wrong because, number one, she just aired you out. Number two, you just blamed it on me. I don't even know how I got snaked into this. I'm just trying to talk about football today.
Well, we're not going to do that right now because it's what I want to talk about is Dwayne Wade's statue. So I don't know if you guys.
What is that?
Can we stop with statues?
The memes are killing me. And I just saw another one.
It's just as bad as Cristiano Ronaldo's, but if not worse,
honestly. He got replaced, I think, is what I heard.
Please,
they gave that person who built the bus another chance.
It was awful.
And they made a significantly better bust.
Why does Dwayne Wade have to be screaming in the statue bust? Like that's part of the problem.
It's beside the point.
They try to take it maybe an iconic image, but beside the point, the thing is
are we not to a point where we can use computer technology for this kind of thing?
But my point is I think it leads to it not looking like the person. Like in this case,
he could have been smiling, whistling, blowing a kid. No matter what they would have done, that wouldn't look like D Wade.
Well, first off, D Wade has hair. The bust doesn't appear to have any hair, so it doesn't look right. It makes him look like
it is haunting. It is haunting me.
Who was it? Was it Allen Iverson that recently got a statue?
Yes,
and it was like the size of the Heisman. Like you know what I mean? Like
small statue.
It looked like the Heisman was on display.
So it was the size of Allen Iverson. Not even
Allen Iverson's that small. It was like a 3 foot statue.
He's not that tall.
He used to stay at that hotel over there. In Buckhead by where the Shula Steakhouse was in.
Yeah.
He used to
basically know exactly
I mean he Marriott. Had a, like he had like a residency there. I'm pretty sure he lived there because you would back in the day you used to do shows from there and you'd see AI just walking in with his crew.
We got our hair done at the same place at the same time. It was really nice, but I showed that
next
story
to each
a long
other?
Time ago. No, I had to get up for him. They were like,
I remember that
"Hey,
story,
somebody's coming in." She didn't tell me who it was, and I was like, "Great, Allen Iverson."
Yeah, you're gonna have to move.
Really cool. So
you're
I said, no problem.
Hey, we're using a special chair on you, and it's not for you.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is the wake up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. You can tell us your thoughts on whether or not the way the Falcons on the defensive side of things are winning games is sustainable. Got a lot of takeaways, still trying to generate the pass rush. We want to hear from you and your thoughts, especially can they sustain that against a team like the Cowboys this weekend.
You think Brian Daboll is on Ozempic?
What?
Because he's lost weight.
You gotta stop doing that.
What?
You gotta stop doing that.
He's lost a lot of weight. He was on TV just now talking about Daniel Jones's work ethic.
I don't know. Nobody's watching TV right now in a car.
I don't think so, but it's just like, yo, you are on one today, Bo. First, it was the jogger.
I'm going to turn those I'm going to unplug those things.
Seriously. He also has access to, there's a weight room, training staff, diet.
He didn't use it at Alabama or Buffalo.
I'm just saying, anyone that loses weight nowadays, you don't have to be like, oh, are they on his Ozempic?
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the easiest way when it's sudden like that.
Well,
I'm just
saying. Can bring it back to the topic, do I need to set up the question again since that was hard left?
No.
Okay. Give us your thoughts. Call us for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. We will go to the lines. We have Chief waiting on us.
Chief!
Whoa. Good morning. What's happening, Chief? You know, that intro, Tiffany, I don't know. You said it like you didn't really mean it. She wasn't up for it today.
It was a little downtrodden. It was a little downtrodden.
For you? To say to the lines to welcome you in? That's what you're saying?
Yeah. That wasn't, I don't know.
What do you want me to do? Rah, rah? You want me to roll out a red carpet for you?
Hold on.
You want a slow clap?
Hold on, Chief. Hold on a second. I'll do it for you. All right, Tiffany, let's get to our wake-up call. We got my man, Chief.
Chief,
how you doing today?
What's happening, Chief?
That's right. You know what, Tribal Chief? Even when you're wrong, you're right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, even when the tribal chief is wrong, he's right. You know,
Chief. So, give us. Goodness. Do you have something for us? Are you just calling?
Yes, ma'am. I really do. The Falcons defense, it is sustainable if you can keep scoring 30 points.
There you go.
I got a question for you guys, though. The time is changing this weekend. So, do you prefer falling back? Springing forward, or just let the time stay the same?
Stay the same.
Just keep it the same.
Great question. I'll be honest with you. I like when it gets darker early. Yeah. I like when it gets darker early.
Wow,
I wish
it was darker.
Well, I wish it was, honestly, I wish it was a week early because I would love to take my kids trick-or-treating at like 5 o'clock in the dark so I get in bed early. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Like I hate, I just hate when it gets dark late. I like it to be in the summer like that. I like it to get dark late. You can spend, you know, your evenings at the pool or whatever. But right now I'm like, man, just go ahead and knock it out.
Winter
just get
gloominess.
Dark. Get dark at 6 o'clock.
No.
I'm fine with that.
To Chief's point about the sustainability of the pass rush lack of or the defense playing, whatever you want to go to, just remember that in 2016, their defense got good at the end of the year. It developed. But they gave up 31, 28, 32, 33, 16, 26, 33, 32, 28, 24. They had the bye week, and then it went back to 19, 29, 14, 13, 16. They did give up 32 in the last game.
That's like 2016's eons ago.
I know it is. But the reality is this is the best the offense has looked since probably 2018. And that was an injury-riddled team. So you go back and you look. Defenses can progress throughout the season. That was a terrible defense early in the season. The offense was good. It kept you winning games. And the defense caught up later. That's the point.
I don't like that point.
Well, you don't have to, but you can counter it.
Let's go to the line. Let's go to Anthony in Covington. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Squid Nation in the house.
Let's go, Anthony.
What are we doing?
Yeah,
I thought
that,
we had gotten
Mike?
Rid of this.
How about that? Yeah.
Ugh.
Good morning, All-American, and good morning to our local Olympian.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So I will respectfully disagree with Squid Billy on this one. It is not sustainable because the proof is in the pudding. In 2016, yes, we may or may not have been scoring 30 points a game, but you still came up short in your ultimate goal, because the one pass rusher we did have was Vic Beasley at the time. They caught on to it, and we had no other pass rusher, so you were not able to get to your ultimate goal. And yes, we are opportunistic with turnovers right now. Yes, 100 million percent, but I'm going to use a reference with the Braves, right? Record setting year ago with all the home runs. When the well dries up, and you can't score all those points, you got to be able to lean on your defense. I think Terry and Ra are very, very smart. They're not going to let the season go on without making an addition. Whether I don't think it's going to be a big move, but there should be a good culture fit, a key fit to come in and help us bolster this pass rush, because I don't think we're going to be able to get to our ultimate goal without solidifying that pass rush.
You know what, man? That's actually for a guy from Squid Nation, and I'm glad that you disagreed with Bo, because that's pretty much sums up Squid Nation. It's like, yeah, I follow him. I don't know why.
I joined the nation.
Well, because we believe in free thought in Squid Nation. Well, you don't have to fall in line with everything.
Anyway.
Let me just say this about what he had to say. I think there's some truth to that. Where
there is truth to it.
The reason you are 5-3, well, the offense played terribly to start the year. Don't let me get the wrong, but there is a point, and I would. What's funny is I would love to have something that other offensive coordinators could cue in on, like a Vic Beasley right now. No, you don't have it on either side, right? And so, you can say what you want to about Vic's numbers. It's like, oh, they cued in on him. We didn't have any answer. Don't have anything to answer right now, right? And so that's kind of the worry. So I do think once the run defense comes along, the pass rush will get better, because I think you'll find yourself in optimal situations more. But nonetheless, until that happens, we got a lot more questions.
To the other Mike Johnson in Atlanta.
Let's go.
Morning.
There's a lot of us out there. What's up?
Mike, did they treat you good at Dudley's the other day?
Hey, they treated me like royalty down at Dudley's the other day, man. Had a lot of good time down there.
They should have told you I was there the day before. I had to fly out, so I couldn't come see you. But I told them to take good care of you. You should have got a couple free shots on them, so...
I
paid for you.
I can't confirm or deny on air, my friend, but I appreciate that.
No problem. I hate that I missed you. But, hey, talk about the Falcons, man. You know, I want to be more optimistic on this. Who would have thought we'd start the way we've started? And I think there's more to come, man. I mean,
yes.
Everybody's beating them up about the pass rush and stuff like that. But, I mean, sold that a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, look at where we're at 2 years ago. I mean, we're playing some good ball. I mean, is it perfect? No. But what NFL team besides the Chiefs, which it's the Chiefs, is playing perfect?
Yeah.
To the point where I think we're starting to develop. So, I mean, I would like to end this call saying, hey, look, there's more to come. You know, if it's a pass rush, it's whatever. Terry and Ron know what they're doing. I promise you that. So, love you guys. Mafia is amazing.
All right, we're going to have to get the Mafia a new set of burner
phones.
Let's go.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Anthony from Covington needed new radials on his tires. We could hear him turning right there. So
maybe,
I don't even want to hear.
He's driving a big truck, man. That's
I don't
want to
hear. I think he kind of hammered home the way I feel about it. This team at this point, if you'd have said 5-3 to start the year and you said 4-0 in the division, you'd have taken it 10 times out of 10. All right, so these teams can develop, they can learn, they can change. Ravens, prime example. You're running the ball down Tampa's throat. Oh, then you get hit by the Browns, right? So there's ups and downs. This team will change. Add some pieces if you need to, but I'm all on board right now.
NFL power rankings. Who's at the top? That's on the other side when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. All right, NFL power rankings, several editions of them are out. We are looking at Josh Kendall, friend of the show, writes for The Athletic and covers the Atlanta Falcons. Here are his power rankings. He's got the Lions at 1, the Chiefs at 2, the Packers at 3, the Bills at 4, Texans at 5, Ravens at 6, and I'm going to scroll forward to see where I can find Atlanta on his list. But
13.
Do you agree with the 13? I was almost there. Is that Seattle?
They're right behind Seattle and right above Tampa Bay, which
do
is
you
interesting.
Agree?
Well, it's interesting that Denver is only at 15. I think Denver probably should be above Tampa Bay right now. Do I agree? I mean, I have no problem with them being behind Seattle because Seattle came in here and beat us like a drum. I have no problem with us being behind Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh beat us. The Eagles, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Philadelphia is overrated, and the only reason why is I don't know what they are. I just don't know what Philadelphia is because 1 week they come out, they look like a world beater last week. They beat Cincinnati handedly, but then you have other weeks where they struggle and that you just don't know who. I just don't know who they are.
I think I know who the Eagles are. The Eagles are an incredible running team when Jalen Hurts is able to run the ball. Saquon obviously is his own animal. That offensive line, that Lord knows I've salivated over them enough on this radio station with some of the guys they bring to the table. When Jalen Hurts is the added element, that team is very, very good.
Is that the Falcons' best win? Not the best win from start to finish, but when you look on, if you looked at the schedule on paper and you looked at the 5 wins, you would say that's the best one.
I think that's the best team they beat.
That's the best team they beat. Because I was had this conversation. When you go back and you look at all the Falcons' wins, they've only played one team at the time that was under 500. Now, New Orleans is now 2-6. But remember, week 4, New Orleans is 2-1. They were at one point looking like one of the best teams in football at the time. They were hot. I know they just lost a game, but they weren't. That was a brutally tough game against, remember, Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
where it was a physically demanding game, and New Orleans barely lost that game.
Yeah.
And so that's why when I talk to people, I'm like, man, the 5 wins, like this team has beaten some good teams and some teams that were good at the time.
Yeah. And look, man, I agree with you. I think I'm more than okay with the Falcons sitting at 13 right now because, like every team on this list, let's see, let me go all the way up.
I'm at the
Ravens right are at 6, right? I mean, the Ravens are like one of the Super Bowl favorites, in my opinion. When they are playing well, they are unstoppable. Green Bay sitting at 3, I don't love that, to be completely honest. Jordan Love, Malik Willis has done a lot of good things for that team. Seems like they're almost better when Malik Willis is in and their kind of backs are against the wall. So them at three is a little bit interesting. But you go all the way up. I mean, the Houston Texans at five and the Baltimore Ravens at six. Most of these teams still have question marks, as do the Atlanta Falcons. But I think it just frustrates me when I look at it because it reminds me that I think the Pittsburgh game was there for the taking if we were running the same offense that we are running now. Like, this offense has changed so much. What we are asking of this offensive line has changed so much. What Kirk Cousins is doing and how comfortable he is has changed so much since week one that it leaves me wondering if that was just straight up a missed opportunity or we seriously didn't know what we were doing in week one. I was so frustrated after that loss to Pittsburgh, especially the way they played offensively, that you look at it and go, dude, had we not just scored one touchdown, one extra touchdown, you could have gotten over the hump for that one.
What's the difference in the Texans and the Falcons? Hold on. Before you answer, because I know you got something for me, but the Texans have won one game by more than 6 points. They every game has been close other than the Patriots game, the bad team. They've got two losses, and one of which was a blowout in Minnesota. Now, I know that they're 6-2 and you're 5-3. I think you've played a tougher schedule. But every game they've won, 2 points, 6 points, 4 points, 3 points, 3 points. Lost a close game to Green Bay and got blown out by Minnesota. And I told you that they'd beat the Patriots by 20. But why is it a bad thing when the Falcons only win by 2 to 3 points every week, yet Houston doesn't get judged the same way? Is it because Houston was a playoff team last year?
Well, I think Houston at this point looks like they're more well-rounded. Their offense is not as explosive as it was a year ago, for whatever reason. And I know they've had injury here and there, but C.J. Stroud, Bobby Slowick, that whole crew that we crowned a year ago, they haven't quite been as good, but they feel more well-rounded. Will Anderson has come on. A couple of their players in the linebacking core, obviously they can rush the passer better than the Falcons, as can everybody else in the NFL. So I guess my answer to a lot of that would be like they can do it in multiple ways, and I don't think a lot of people think that way about the Falcons right now because of the front seven.
Cowboys are at 22 on this power rankings list, and what Josh Kendall does mention is that the run game is scary, not in a good way that is. And we talked about it before with the Ravens. Basically, they have tripled the amount of rushing yards that the Cowboys do this season. And so the Cowboys have lost two straight, and they are, of course, last in the league with 519 rushing yards.
Yeah, 74 yards a game is not going very well. Do we – Tiff, you might be able to answer this. Are we too close at times – to our teams, and we judge them like, as NFL fans, especially in this town, the Falcons fans, I should say, I think sometimes we judge them like a college team because we forget that, the NFL is a league where you win games. Like the Texans, Josh has got them, you said third? They're third on the.
Yeah, the Packers are. The Texans are fifth, I believe.
They're fifth in the power rankings. And they've won games. Now they're 6-2. They're a game better than the Falcons, but their schedule and their wins look just like the Falcons' wins. And we say they're one of the best teams in the league. And now I know they have a pass rush, so that's probably part of it.
But
too.
You're getting at are we
too harsh on our team? Are we too harsh on the Falcons? And should we be happier when they win and stop trying to look at all the negatives? Enjoy the win for what it is. I think you have to be realistic, but also. We should not be frustrated and wins.
Yeah.
So when you ask about judging them, are you judging them like you would?
Are we too close?
Team,
yeah, right? I think there's
and
a
like,
lot.
Of, if yeah. you're talking about judging a college team, I think what you're getting at NFL wise is the fact that it's hard to win in the NFL. Like these are professionals, even though colleges may be trying to trend that way too now.
Yeah.
But still, these are professionals in this league, and that anyone on any given Sunday, yes, can win. So you should be happy to take a victory. No matter how you get it, and no matter who it's against.
Because
we saw the weekend, you saw the Ravens get knocked off by the Browns, right?
Yeah, like, on the road.
On the road.
A divisional one. NFL should be, did we win? That's the way I've always viewed it. College is like, okay, well, did we win by enough to impress these voters so I get a chance? And that's changing, too, to your point.
I think, and that's exactly what I was going to bring up. I've had to have this conversation with some Alabama fans is that, you know, minus Nick Saban, you have to have an NFL style of thinking, specifically with the 12-game playoff, right, that this thing has pivoted to, and also with the 16-team SEC. Right, because you're not playing every team in the SEC and you're not facing off of these teams. It has to be a did we get a win? Now, I know that there has to be a quality of play still in college football because that's what you judge everything off of. But there is more with the transfer portal, you know, kind of being free agency the same way the NFL and with, you know, these big leagues and the 12-team playoff. Like the college football has started to go the way of the NFL, and I think there's some thought to your point about the NFL kind of going to the way of college football and the way we look at it.
Because I'm going to tell you something. The phrase I hate the most right now, my cringeworthy phrase when you talk about football, is eye test. Because I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust most people's eyes. So I don't know. Well, I don't pass eye
test. Like, we don't do that in NFL-wise. I feel like that's only for college.
I hear it.
For
no,
sure.
No, I hear it all the time.
I feel a lot more in college just because of trying to, like you guys said, impress people that are voting the way it used to be.
The eye test is a silly comment. You know what's funny is the Chiefs are 7-0. One game they've won by 10 or more points. That was 10 points, and that was against San Francisco. Everything else has been 7-1, 5, 7, 3, 10, which was the Niners game, 7. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but one score games in the NFL are kind of what the hell the league is. Speaking of that.
Go ahead, take it away.
Speaking of the league is doing something silly again with animation and a game, and one top draft pick could be benched already. Next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
We are back here on the Morning Shift. And no, that didn't go out over air. I was hoping.
I know, I didn't turn my mic out.
You're going to disappoint a lot of people out there.
You know, my neighbor texted me. Carter texted me and said, man, Tiffany's just coming at you today. I said, man, that's every day, dude. I don't know what Donald
would
tell you.
No, it's not.
I got a bad rap yesterday, and I didn't understand it because I felt like I was going gentle on you compared to how she normally is.
At the time, Tiffany was being, dare I say, sweet.
This means I like you.
And then she just turned on me like just like on a dime. It was like Bajan cutting, making a cut.
Woo! I will say, Tiff.
Oh, no.
The way you took it to another level in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday, you were on a different level than I've even seen you.
Yeah, she had to play catch up mode.
Yeah, you were definitely in catch up mode the way you were getting on both.
You know what it was like? You know what it was like? It was like
an intervention.
It was like you came off the field and you're in the third quarter, and the coach goes, "Tiffany, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you got to get your head out of your butt because you're not playing well." And you're like, "Oh, I'm coming at him.
Step it up. I'm going to step it up."
And then you just like,
"Bo, your shirt is stupid."
Yeah, you just came out like shot out of a cannon. Like all of a sudden, you just had like you just played. You know what? You just finished the game right. I mean, you didn't start the game well, but you finished it. Man, you just crushed it. That's kind of the way you treated me yesterday.
Whoever I'm meanest to, that means you're in good standing.
Yeah, Mike, she must hate you.
Yeah, I'm not in a good spot right now.
Oh, ridiculous.
Or Garrett, she hates Garrett once. She don't even talk to him.
Oh, man.
Garrett, he just walked in the door. I can't just start firing off haymakers.
Yeah, Dylan, actually, y'all must be buddy-buddy. She was really mean to Dylan earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
Tiffany and I are besties today.
There it is.
Did y'all talk before? Y'all must have talked on your way here or something because you walked in the door and took a shot at Dylan.
No, we did. We did not.
Garrett, you got my chicken nuggets ready? Just say my pleasure, Garrett, like all the other Chick-fil-A employees.
Please.
That's right, little W sauce. You can put it on your Chick-fil-A nuggets. Ask Garrett. He's done it before. The fire shower is really good. And my friends at New Realm Owl Inn Lager. You can get it at Twin Peaks when you're next time you're over there watching Andy and Randy or Dukes and Bell and you're hanging out or you're just having a nice meal. Just say, hey, Squidbilly told me. Give me that Owl Inn. All right. Don't forget to November 25th. There are limited spots available. I can say limited. Can you say it? Limited. Yes, right.
What did you say yesterday? You tried to say lackadaisical.
No, that was so funny.
What you said?
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we don't have unlimited spots, but we do have them available still. Get in there. You can play with us. I know Twin Peaks is going to be a part of it. My friends at New Realm are going to be a part of it. So there's a ton of sponsors that are going to be there. Finley Roofing is going to be a part of it as well. All right. I don't understand ESPN and the NFL and the Disney Plus, and they wanting to screw up broadcast. They're doing another one. Remember last year they did the, what was it, the Toy Story for the Falcons-Jags
game?
Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was cool.
Well, this year they're going to do another one, and it's going to be a Simpsons-themed broadcast. December 9th, the Monday Night Football Bengals and Cowboys.
How do you not like The Simpsons?
I love it. I just think this
feels weird that it's a Disney thing. Right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can watch The Simpsons on Disney+.
I know. I just see that seems not the way it was supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was meant to
never be designed that way.
Maybe Matt Groening
Bart Simpson just doesn't scream Disney to me. Never has, never will.
Eat it's my right. shorts.
I wasn't even allowed to watch Simpsons when I was little.
Oh, I got to watch
it. You watch it.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed. It was too much. Of course, I was like, a lot younger than y'all. No big deal.
It was on while we were probably your age.
You know what? Like, yeah, it's like.
What do you mean my age before? What does that
I'm
mean?
Saying like.
It's been on since 1989.
Yeah, it's been on forever. So like when you're saying when you were of an age where you weren't allowed to watch it, we were at that age at one point, and we were still watching it.
Oh. I got to watch
it.
That's
why we're the way we are right now.
But then my mom would be like, I can't stand that Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
She didn't like Bart.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of a.
My mom didn't like him either. That's probably why I wasn't allowed to watch it.
I'm going to get in trouble. One of my cousins, my mom used to say that he reminded her of Bart Simpson, but it was used as a negative.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's terrifying.
That personal name, nameless, but yeah, he lived near where I grew up. Dylan has got some audio from me because one head coach is very non-committal on his starting quarterback, who they just drafted less than, just over a year ago. Anthony Richardson decided to take himself out of the game at one point because he ran too much. Doesn't help the fact that he was pretty horrific in the game. He was 10 of 32. Against the Texans defense. They still almost won the game. Maybe he'd have been like 12 of 32, they would have won the game. You never know. But Steichen was asked if they're sticking with Richardson.
Is Anthony your starting quarterback right now or not?
Right now, today, yes, yes.
Just you don't know for the upcoming game if he is a starting
quarterback. We're evaluating.
Okay. Does that sound non-committal to you? Because it does to me.
Yes.
I'm actually kind of impressed by the blunt honesty. You know what I mean? A lot of times coaches will dance around it, and, those are ongoing conversations. We approach it every week and watch the film, make those decisions on a week-to-week basis. Anthony's our guy, but, we got to look at all options, and he's the future. But, you're just like, yeah. I mean, as of today, yeah. But, all options are out there.
What I'm trying to figure out is it the tone of it, too? Are they evaluating all options because – they didn't like the honesty part? Is it because you weren't going all out and you had to check yourself out?
I think it's 10 of 32.
Effort.
Are you talking about because he took himself out of the game?
Yeah, because if it had been some sort of health kind of thing, we wouldn't be having this discussion. So from what that tells me is it's not really a health thing.
Somebody asked me. Somebody asked me about the Richardson thing. They're like, man, I'm glad he took himself out of the game. He was honest. And I was like, dude, I would have puked down my jersey on national television before I took myself out of the game.
Would have just lied. Like, I don't know.
I think, honestly,
I've seen that too.
Would have ran to the bathroom or something.
Yeah. I think it's performance. I'm telling you that the offense performed at a higher level in the one and a half games that Flacco played in than it did Sunday against the Texans. I can tell you that much. And they're 4-4, and they're not out of anything. They have a chance to make the playoffs. Head coaches don't have time to develop quarterbacks anymore. That's unless you have a guy, that is the beauty of what we've doing here with Penix.
Yeah.
But
It's kind of, and honestly, it's kind of the Will Levis thing that goes along with it. You know, a lot of people just, they start looking at Will Levis' career, and you're like, when has this guy ever done anything that deserved a starting role in the NFL?
And like, honestly, like,
he left Penn State. He wasn't, I mean, never had a winning record at Kentucky. Wasn't great.
Well,
he's like, yeah.
He did more, with all due respect, and I'm a Florida guy, he did more than Anthony Richardson did at Florida.
No, I know, but that's my point. It's the same thing. It's like, yeah. At what point did we decide that this guy's got to be crowned the starter in the NFL?
We're going to find out what is coming up on the Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.